It is something upon which we should be sensitive, we should be caring, we should be compassionate, and we should be those who pray for such individuals. The same could be said of men as well. There are many men who are in similar situations. There are many children and families who have been torn apart by sin, who have suffered under such sorrow. And this passage brings our attention to all of these matters. And we should approach then, therefore, with a heart that is humble, a heart that is caring, a heart like Christ, for Christ cares for those within the church.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people.
Have care and comfort and support. Oh, that we pray for those who are in need. The true widow is to be honored by the church. When we think of that, does that not apply to us all? The young are full of energy. Sometimes there can be a great gap between the old and the church. And the young in the church, the old might be a little bit more stricter in their ways. I've seen the churches where you've had the old folk and the young folk have been scared of the older folk. And the old folk haven't respected the younger ones in the way that they maybe should have. There has been a breaking of that bond. And there should be a bond within the church of Christ, no matter of age. No matter of age. There should be a love from the old to those who are younger. There should be a love and respect from those who are younger to those who are older. And we find that here. We're to honor the widows that are widows indeed. There is to be that respect within the church, and it goes beyond the elder. It goes beyond the deacon. It goes beyond the adult within the church. It comprises all of us. Regardless of our age and position, let there be a unity and a bond of love between us all. Secondly, I want you to see that the true widow is to be a woman of prayer. The true widow is to be a woman of prayer. Verse 5. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate, trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. And so the true widow, the one who is a widow indeed, and the one who has over them that spiritual care within the church of Christ, is to be one who trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. Though there is that desolation there, though there is that sorrow and the heartache, there is a hope that is to be fixed in God. There is to be that trust in Him, and there is to be that continuation in prayer. And when we think of our sorrowful situations in life, when we think of the heartaches and the burdens we have to bear, whether it is that of a widow, whether there are other reasons for that, we have our needs, we have our concerns, and we have a God in heaven who cares for us. Let us never forget that. That though we may feel alone in life, there is a God that we can trust in. And the apostle says, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate, and we can think of the sorrow and the heartache there, and then he says, trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. There is hope. There is encouragement. There is comfort that comes from God. There is to be a hope that is fixed in Him. There is a heavy and clear emphasis then of the prayer life of such an individual. In Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 11, it says, "Leave thy fatherless children. I will preserve them alive, and let thy widows trust in me." There is to be a clinging to such a verse. Let thy widows trust in me. And dear believer, today, in the heartache and in the sorrows of life, whatever your situation may be, can it be said of you that you trust in God? Through the loneliness of life and the heartaches and those trials, that there is this trust that is fixed and centered upon the Lord. Review that trust today. Examine that trust. Do you have your heart fixed truly upon the God of heaven? This devotion to pray shows that the widow in view here is one who is devoted to the Lord. Such devoted communion to God is a sure sign of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a commitment to the Savior. We'll come to that in a moment. But that should be found in each of us, regardless of our state in life, a commitment to Christ. Why are we to be committed to Christ? Because He died for us. Because He redeemed us. Because He saved us. We're to be committed to our Savior because of the gospel, the life-bringing gospel, the life-changing gospel, the gospel of Christ that takes a sinner from the depths of sin, lifts him up, places his feet upon the solid rock, a salvation, a gospel that takes away his sin. The Apostle Paul said in Acts 16, verse 31, to the Philippian jailer who said, "Sirs, how must I be saved? How can I be saved?" And the Apostle said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." It was through faith in Christ. The Lord Jesus came into the land of Galilee. He preached that message. Repent and believe the gospel. Turn from sin. Turn from your sin and believe in the gospel. Believe in the good news of salvation through Christ alone. And that message that takes that sinner from the depths of sin and redeems him and saves him is a message that we are to be committed to, a Savior that we are to be committed to, regardless of our state in life. And we see that example in Job. Job lost much of his business and his wealth. Job lost his sons and his daughters in a very tragic way. And we are reminded that in all of this, Job sinned not. End of Job chapter 1. Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He exhibited sorrow, but he still was committed to God. He still had that faith. His faith was not shirked by that. His faith was not this strong tower that had cracks running through the walls. His faith, by the grace of God, stood intact. And dear believer, when we face hardships, when we face such sorrow as is in view here, we are to have this commitment to Christ and this commitment to the Lord that carries us through such circumstances. We must continue in prayer. This is seen in those who have their struggles and their sorrows in life. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke's Gospel chapter 2. And in view here we have Anna. Verse 36. Luke 2, verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Here we have a woman. She had been widowed a long, long time. And she did not depart out of the temple, but she served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. The Savior had come and she rejoiced in that. But she spent her time praying. She spent her time being committed to the God of heaven. Dear believer, today, whether you are a widow or not, what of your prayer life? What of your prayer life? The apostle is saying here, the true widow is one who trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. They use their time to pray. They use their time to serve the Lord. The prayers of widows give strength to the church. Calvin said, prayer by day and night is the special privilege of widows and the childless, for they are free from the things that very properly hinder those who rule a family from doing the same. What he is saying is, use that time. If the circumstances of life, whatever circumstances you may have, if it gives you time, use that extra time in the service of Christ. Use it to pray. Use it to know more about Christ. Use it for good. Use it to strengthen the church in prayer. Thirdly, I want you to see the true widow is to be dedicated by Christ, dedicated to Christ. The true widow is to be dedicated to Christ. We've touched on this through the ministry of prayer, but note verse 9. And verse 9 states here, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, and well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she hath lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. The emphasis of the apostle here is that the widow is certainly not a liability, though there is a spiritual care in the Old Testament church, or the New Testament church here, there is that physical concern as well, that temporal concern. But the apostle is saying that the widow is not a liability. They are an asset to the church of Christ. They are those who can help and those who can serve. And in the context of the church here in Ephesus, it is believed that there were these widows. There was a group, a number, as we see in verse 9, a number of them who were under, or those who were over 60 years of age, who were faithful. They had shown fidelity within their lives and good works, and they had brought up children, they had lodged strangers. They had shown faithfulness to Christ, and there was a number of them, or a list of them, who had this ministry within the church, caring and helping, praying, caring, not being idle within the work of Christ. Not only was that a blessing to the church, but that service would have been a blessing to those individuals as well. But it reminds us of our dedication to the Savior. Our dedication to the Savior. The apostle speaks in verse 6, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. There's a contrast here between the one who is dedicated to Christ, the one who prays, and the one who indulges in pleasure. What Paul is saying here is that one who is in this situation is not to live in pleasure. Not to live in pleasure. The husband has passed, and now they can indulge in pleasure and live in sin. Paul is saying that is not to happen. And that can happen with all of us. We can put pleasure before Christ. We can put pleasure before Christ. The original Greek hearer can think of verse 6 with the thought of living with careless ease. Those who live for pleasure without any thought of what is right or wrong. Living for pleasure as if one is unregenerate. Living for pleasure as if one is unsaved and ungodly. That's what's in view here. Living for these things. And therefore, in the sight of God, as it were, we're not His people because we're living in sin. We're not living as if we are saved. We're not living as if we've been bought by the precious blood of Christ, but rather living as if we are dead in sin and dead in our trespasses. And the people of God are to live as those who are saved. They're not to live as those who are unregenerate. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And therefore the pleasures of sin, the lusts of the flesh, all those things that can come under that, immorality, whatever it is, the people of God are to set it aside by God's grace and to live for Christ. And this is what Paul is saying. The circumstances that someone finds themselves in, their spouse is passed, that is not an open license to now live in sin and pleasure. They're to trust in God. They're to pray. Do we find ourselves in that state? Do we find ourselves enticed by the things of the world? Well, dear believer, forsake the world. May the world not have that victory over us. May we not be conformed by the world, but may we be transformed through the Spirit of God. The apostle speaks of this dedication to the Savior, but moving down this passage, he speaks about the younger widows. Verse 11, but the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. It is believed the younger widows should remarry. But there is a lesson that comes from this, that there is a danger that we can focus upon marriage and focus upon getting settled in life and not being focused upon the Savior the way that we ought to be. A testimony was related to me one time about an individual who had spoken publicly and had said through probably their late teens, right through to their 30s, they lived a life of fear and panic and worry because they wanted to be married. And their friends were getting married and they were set to the side, as it were, in their mind. Left on the shelf, the term would be. And this was their focus. They got married in the will of God a little later on. But for many years, this was the focus. We should leave these things in the will of God and serve Him and be dedicated to Him and live for Him. Oh, how many have a desire to be married and be settled because that's what's expected in society. Maybe that's what's expected more in the church than in society today. To be settled, to be married. And there's pressure. And there should not be that pressure. Marriage should be encouraged. Marriage is good. Marriage is a blessing. But it should not be rushed into. It should not be the focus, a more serious focus upon it than upon the Savior and upon walking with Christ. The apostle then moves down this passage and gives another warning. Verse 13, and withal they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Speaking of the younger widows specifically here, he moves to verse 14, says, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. But he warns about these sins, tattlers, busybodies, speaking things they ought not to, gossiping. The original Greek meaning silliness and foolishness, doing things they ought not to do. We need to be careful how we speak. We need to be careful what we say. We need to be careful in the context of the church family here, because as we care for one another, things may be given to us in confidence. And those things are to be kept to ourselves. The pastor specifically can be told things that are said privately. He is not to go to the next person he speaks to and say, did you hear about this individual and this problem or this trial or something they're facing? It may be something that is to be kept private. I've looked at congregations I've preached to before, and I've thought of things that have been said to me in confidence and how much damage could be caused if you just said everything, or even accidentally said something because of the trust that is placed. And sometimes trust can be placed to you or I by others about burdens they have, things we can pray for. We're not to be busybodies. We're not to be tattlers. We're not to be gossips. We're to pray. But those things may be part of our private prayers. And the Apostle's Scripture itself warns much about gossiping. But here the Apostle brings it out, these things ought not to be happening. Why? Because we're dedicated to Christ. He's the focus. We're serving Him, and by gossiping and tattling and being busybodies and speaking things we ought not to speak, we are not being dedicated to Christ and His service. We're doing the opposite. We're doing the opposite. And so there is a need then to be wise, a need not to be slothful. This is in view too, not only idle, slothfulness, not doing anything. Let us be busy for Christ. Let us be busy in our service for Christ. In light of what we have here, let us in our families, let us in our church, have that spiritual care one for another. Let us not be idle in our spiritual care. Let us not be busybodies and gossips in that spiritual care. But let us, whoever we may be, whatever our circumstances are, let us be those who pray and those who are dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. And may the Lord bless that and bless His word for His name's sake. Amen. For
today's Spurgeon devotional is taken from Genesis chapter 4 and the verse 2, where the Word of God says, Abel was a keeper of sheep. As a shepherd, Abel sanctified his work to the glory of God and offered a sacrifice of blood upon his altar. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. This early type of our Lord is exceedingly clear and distinct, like the first streak of light which tinges the east at sunrise. It does not reveal everything, but it clearly manifests the great fact that the sun is coming. As we see Abel, a shepherd and yet a priest, offering a sacrifice of sweet smell unto God, we discern our Lord, who brings before His Father a sacrifice to which Jehovah ever hath respect. Abel was hated by his brother, hated without a cause, and even so was the Saviour,
The natural and carnal man hated the accepted man in whom the Spirit of grace was found, and rested not until his blood had been shed. Abel fell and sprinkled his altar and sacrifice with his own blood, and therein sets forth the Lord Jesus slain by the enmity of man while serving as a priest before the Lord. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. Let us weep over him as we view him slain by the hatred of mankind, staining the horns of his altar with his own blood. Abel's blood speaketh. The Lord said unto Cain, The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. The blood of Jesus hath a mighty tongue, and the import of its prevailing cry is not vengeance, but mercy. It is precious beyond all preciousness to stand at the altar of our good shepherd, to see him bleeding there as the slaughtered priest, and then to hear his blood speaking peace to all his flock, peace in our conscience, peace between Jew and Gentile, peace between man and his offended maker, peace all down the ages of eternity for blood-washed men. Abel is the first shepherd in order of time, but our heart shall ever place Jesus first in order of excellence. Thou great keeper of the sheep, we the people of thy pasture bless thee with our whole hearts when we see thee slain for us. May this devotional from C.H. Spurgeon bless your heart today and encourage you and make you think upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who indeed is the keeper of the Lord's sheep. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and this is Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for tuning in to our program today. We're glad to have you, and we trust the Lord would indeed richly bless you as you listen to our programs. Join us again tomorrow at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to consider again the Word of God with us.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.